good morning, everybody. I hope you are excited about this beautiful Tuesday and what God has in store for you today. In our devotion, we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So we're starting Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. And this chapter can be kind of confusing, the reasoning, the argumentation, the approach that Paul takes to addressing some of the issues in this chapter. Very beautiful teaching, but not always easy to follow, as a lot of Paul's letters can be sometimes. But the key theme in this chapter is how we are connected to each other as believers and through Christ. There's a mutual need for each other, a mutual dependence on each other. We have a mutual influence, a mutual impact on each other. Paul had it with the Corinthians and they with him and all of us together with Christ. And just in a big picture description, that's what he's talking about in this particular chapter. And he, in the first several verses, after his introductory comments, talks about how we are connected with one another and with Christ through our suffering as believers when we are persecuted for the faith. There's a connection. There's a mutuality there between us with each other and us with Christ, and so on. And so let's look at some of what he says about suffering and persecution, starting in verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who..." So blessed be God who comforts us in all our affliction. So God comforts us when we suffer, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So in other words, God comforts us so that we can turn around and comfort others. And in the sense, he comforts them through us. And so there's that mutuality again, God with us and us with others. And it's like a full circle. But he continues in verse 5 by saying, "For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." There's this sense in Scripture that when we suffer for the faith, we are sharing in the sufferings of Jesus. And he comforts us. There's this interconnection. Jesus suffered so that we could be saved. When we suffer for the faith, there's this identity, this connection with Christ. Our suffering is part of his suffering because we are his body. So in essence, when we suffer for the faith, Christ is suffering. So there's that mutuality again. He goes on to say in verse 6, "But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation." There he's talking about Paul and his associates. If they suffer for the faith, it is for the benefit of the Corinthians, of other believers. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort. When we suffer, it is on your behalf, and in a sense, you suffer with us. And when we are comforted, it is for your sake, and you are comforted because it blesses you to know that we are comforted. There's that mutuality again, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. So we all will suffer for the faith, and it's through our patient endurance, our sticking with it, not giving up, that there's a sense of unity. And then in verse 7, "For our hope," he says, "for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort." So we're all in this thing together. That's basically what he's saying. When it comes to suffering for Jesus, we are all in this together, and we are sharing in the sufferings of Christ, and we suffer together, we comfort one another together, we endure together, we stay with it, and we don't give up. And Paul's suffering had been very severe, and there's really an encouraging and I think instructive note in verses 8 through 10 that I want you to see how Paul faced his suffering, because I think it can help some of you, some of us, when we suffer. In verse 8 he says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction." Our affliction, Paul and his missionary team, "which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life." He says it was really bad. We thought we were going to die. Verse 9, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He's not saying that some court had sentenced them to death. What he's saying is, they were enduring this severe suffering for Jesus to the point that they thought they might actually become martyrs. Before that happened, on the inside, within themselves, he says, within themselves, in their own heart, their own thinking, their own attitude, their own spirit, he said, we had already died. Look at verse 9. We had the sentence of death within ourselves. He's saying that inside of ourselves, we had already determined that if death was what was going to happen, if we were going to die for the faith, we had already died to this life on the inside so that we would not be tempted to trust in ourselves and things we might do to rescue ourselves from affliction, to that we would not be tempted to do something sinful or deny the faith so that we would not die, so that we would live. We already accepted that we were going to die, because we did not want the flesh, the desire for living, to tempt us to do something wrong. We wanted to die to self so that we were going to trust God. And if God's will meant we are martyred, so be it. In other words, they had already accepted death on the inside, prevented them from being tempted to do something wrong, to compromise the faith on the outside. But then he goes on to talk about how God delivered them. And I think for you and me, it's not the idea that we become defeatist, that we become pessimistic, but it's that we literally take our life and we lay it on the altar and say, Jesus, here it is, and if death is in my future, so be it, because you are more important to me than my life. I take the sentence of death. I sacrifice this, I sacrifice that before I ever literally have to sacrifice it, because then when I give it up, it's not so hard, because I've already given everything to the King of Kings. And that's how we deal with suffering. Now, he also talks about their spiritual connection, how their faith journeys and stories are intertwined, interconnected, if you will. Oh, and by the way, before I get to that, one point I forgot to share with you is that in verse 11, he said that the Corinthians helped him and his team through their suffering by praying for them. So when we pray for believers who are persecuted, for believers who are suffering for the faith, for believers who are suffering in any way, that is a way to strengthen them and to help them. So that is a good thing. And that also is part of that mutuality. Now, the connectedness we have in terms of our faith journeys and stories. Look at verse 14. Picking up in mid-sentence, he talks about how you also partially did understand us, that here's the part I want you to see, that we are your reason to be proud, as you also are ours in the day of our Lord Jesus. What is he talking about? That when Jesus comes back and judges us, there the Corinthians and Paul's journeys, their faith stories were intertwined, because it was Paul who had planted the church in Corinth and led many of them to Christ. And they were the product of his ministry. So there's this spiritual connection. My uncle, who was so influential in my life, the elderly woman who told those Bible stories at my elementary school in the 60s, and Evelyn, who invited me to church the first time, and others, part of my story. There's this mutual, because listen, no one, not even you, comes to faith without God using others to make that happen. And so even if it's just a Gideon putting a Bible in a motel room and you read it, you never come to faith on your own. So there's this mutual dependence in the family of God. And that's the point he's making in this chapter. And that's really the theme, is that as believers, we're connected to Christ, we're connected to one another, so stop acting like we're not. Now, sometimes relationships can be strained and challenging. Think about your family. Think about friends you've had over the years. Any relationship that lasts and that grows will have seasons of strain. The same thing is true, brothers and sisters in Christ, at church. And here's the thing. People who just give up and walk away, whether it's from family, whether it's from church or whatever, they limit their growth. You get stronger, and things become deeper through endurance. And that's part of what Paul is trying to teach these Corinthians. I hope that helps you in some way. Hey, God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow as we look at chapter 2. God bless you, everybody.